Would you turn with me to the book of 2 John? And as you find 2 John, y'all know where 2 John is, right? Yeah, right between 1 and 3 John, absolutely. You can, right there at Revelation, and turn back a couple of pages. So as you find 2 John, we're going to be talking from the 1st through the 4th verse and looking into God's truth. Last week we did a bit of an introduction there. Today we're going to move forward with that. And I'm going to ask if you would you stand with me in honor of God's word? We're going to read 2 John verses 1 through 4. Notice the words when we come to them. There are some things to take note. We'll come back to them. The elder to the chosen lady and her children. Have you ever seen an introduction like that from John? Quite unique. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth which remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace. Well, those are great words. Amen. Anybody want some of those? Let's repeat them. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now, note there where that mercy, peace, grace comes from. In truth and love. Then he closes this little section out and he says, I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received a commandment to do from the Father. We have all we can deal with in those first four today, so we'll stop there and ask for God's direction. Join me in prayer. Father, we are grateful for your word, and all God's people said, without it, Lord, we lose so much of your revelation. Thank you that you have preserved it for us. Thank you that it is perfect. Thank you that it is sufficient. And thank you, Lord, that it is yours given to us so that it might be ours. What a blessing. Thank you for your word. This we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. We move to the truth again, folks. Is it important to know the truth? And if you know the truth, is it important to adhere to the truth? Now, is it also important to know and remember, as we've been talking about, that there not only is absolute truth, but it is given to us. We can know it. Absolute truth. And the Bible, my friends, if you will recall, is a book of truth. It is the book of truth. And it majors on the theme of truth. So in your bulletin are a number of statements there. I've kind of given you an outline there. And I'm not going to try to read every scripture that I've used in cross-reference. As a matter of fact, I've only used about 1 in 3 to 1 in 5 of verses there, just for room. So I'm going to share some things from God's word that remind us that it is the book of truth, and I'm not going to try to read every verse. You may go back and cross-reference it, and if you find a mistake there, you find something that doesn't match, you let me know, because we're talking about the truth. Folks, God is the God of truth. Amen? He abounds in the truth. He always speaks the truth. His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the truth. He even described himself that way, did he not? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He reveals the truth. He spoke the truth, and he testified of the truth. Did you know that the third person of God, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth? God's truth is eternal, God's truth is infinite, and God's truth is saving. As a matter of fact, God's truth is the only thing that does save. Salvation, dear friends, comes from faith in the truth. You can have faith in all kinds of things. You can believe that things will take care of you. And yet, if your faith is not in something that has a foundation that is unbreakable, then at some point, your belief is going to fall because your faith is not in something that is forever. Folks, salvation comes from faith that is in the truth that will stand forever and forever and forever, and you get it. Amen. Did you know that believers, that is those who know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, all believers are sanctified by the truth. In other words, they are made more like Christ each and every moment and every day by the truth of God. Believers, dear friends, love the truth. Amen? Listen, if you belong to God, you're going to love His Word. Did you know that believers are set free by the truth? They worship the truth. They rejoice in the truth. They speak the truth. They meditate on the truth. They obey the truth. They are guided by the truth. And dear friends, they walk daily in the truth. If you are not, then look at your ownership papers, dear friends. Because if you belong to God, if you belong to His Son, Jesus Christ, you will be walking in the truth of God. In these four little verses, John reveals four features of living in the truth. And we're going to cover them briefly today. The truth unites us as believers. It indwells us as believers. It blesses us as believers, and it controls us as believers. So look with me again at verse 1 of 2 John, verse 1. The truth unites us as believers. He said here, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth. Now, this is the first time that I think that you see John calling himself the elder. Now, he says, I am the elder writing to the chosen lady. Now, by the time he wrote this, we know that John is an old man. We've talked about this many, many times as we went through 1 John. He's an old guy, but that is not what he's saying here. He's not saying, it's me, John, the old man. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, it's me, John, the elder. And his reference, if you go back and look in the Greek, he refers to himself as presbyteros, which means it is also with a definite article, the. He's saying, I am the elder. In other words, what he's saying is, I am the spiritual leader. Are you with me? We know that there are some folks that we call elders in the church who may not be all that old. And that's what John's saying. He's not saying I'm the old guy. He's saying I'm the leader. I am the elder in Christ's church. So this stresses his spiritual position and his oversight of the church. So it's, and that word presbyteros also means, most of the time, if not always, it means the office of elder, not how old you are. So he says, John the elder. Now, why didn't he call himself apostle? Wasn't John the last living apostle? Of course he was. Now, if I was an apostle, I might have referred to myself as the apostle, John the apostle. But that's not what he says. Why? Because he didn't need to. He was writing to people who knew him. He didn't need to say, I'm the apostle. They knew him as the apostle, and they accepted him as such, so he didn't need to be using that title in this letter. Now, who's he writing to? He wrote to the chosen lady. So he's written to an actual woman. Now, there are some scholars, if you will, that say that he was writing to the church, and that he was calling the church the lady. Folks, it just does not fit here. It seems to me, and it seems to most, that he's written to an actual woman. Lady, the word that he used is the feminine form of the noun kurios, which literally means Lord or Sir. So who's he writing to? When he says the feminine form of Lord or Sir, he's writing to the head of a household who's a woman. So this speaks to the lady who manages the household. Now that her husband is not mentioned probably indicates that what? She's probably a widow. Regardless, Regardless, she is the person of that household who is responsible for providing hospitality in her home. Now, why is that so important? Because we're going to come to the point where we're going to see that we are supposed to be very careful who we entertain, who we support. And so because she was the person of the household responsible for that, she's the one who's called to action. So it's important there. Let's move on. He says, to the chosen lady whom I love. Now, folks, the word that he uses here is agape love or agapeos, which means what? Godly love. He's not saying I'm in love with this lady or her children, which he adds in there, but he's saying I love her in the Lord with a godly love. But that's not all either. He says, whom I love, it reveals a very personal connection to these people. That relative pronoun whom is plural. So he's not just saying the lady, he's saying who? The children, because he even mentions the children that are there. Now the phrase in truth, he says, whom I love, how? In the truth. And in the truth explains and qualifies the sphere of love that John is talking about here. He wasn't merely saying, I truly love you. Have you ever had to say that? No, really, really, really. Verily, verily, as the scripture says. Truly, truly. Really, really. Trying to emphasize how much you love somebody. That's not what he's doing here. He's not saying, I really, 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 really love you. He's saying, I love you in the truth. Do you get the difference? What is the truth? God's word is the truth. He was saying that his love in the truth refers to the embodiment of the gospel truth. Now, it's similar, if you will, to Paul's exhortation to Titus, if you'll remember that, where he told Titus, he says, greet those who love us in the faith. He didn't say greet those who truly love us. He's saying, greet those who love us in the faith, those who love us in the truth of the gospel. So the truth here is being put together with the love. Are you with me? Now you're going, Pastor, you're really belaboring this point. There's a reason. And that is because truth and love do go together. Amen? They absolutely do go together. It was this truth that bound John and this lady and John and this lady's family together. But it wasn't just them. Did you notice what it says? But all those who knew God's truth. And they bound not just John to them, but these other believers to this lady and her family. Why? Because the gospel truth, that common belief in the gospel truth, unites all believers. Have you ever noticed that? That sometimes you can be in a place and the Holy Spirit of God, you just feel their presence. You feel the presence of God and you begin to talk to somebody next to you. You find out they're a Christian and instantly you feel a connection. Are you with me? Anybody ever done that? I don't think the only person in the world that's done that. Come on. All right. Thank you. Now, in the same way, have you ever been with someone and you felt the antagonism of their spirit? Oh, many of you have done that. Okay. We've shared testimonies of that. But folks, I'm going to tell you, as we are brought together, the scripture, the truth of God's word unites us. And John's statement here captures the main theme of this entire letter, this little epistle, that as a Christian, truth must always govern our exercise of love. You don't just love. Oh, just love everybody. Listen, that was famous in the 60s. You don't just love everybody. You love them in the truth. Our deep and mutual affection for one another in God's church flows out of a shared commitment to God's truth. We've got to have something. It is the tie that binds. 1 John, as we finish 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Do you remember what it said? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. So if you love God, you're going to love each other, right? We've talked about this. You can't say, oh, I love the Lord, but I hate my brother. And you can't say, I hate my brother and I love the Lord. They just don't go together. We cannot love God and not love the brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, dear friends, we cannot have real communion with those who reject the truth of God. You can be friends, but you're not going to have the same kind of love for each other. When somebody rejects the truth of God, they reject the gospel, we have no real communion with them. That's why the Bible says to be careful about our company. They are outside the fellowship of believers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 reminds us that only those who have obedience to God's truth can actually have a sincere love for one another. So, the truth unites believers. It brings us together. And secondly, the truth indwells believers. Look at verse 2. He said, because of the truth which remains in us and will be with us forever. In other words, he just said, whom I love in truth, not only I, but also those who know the truth, because of the truth which remains in us, will be with us forever. He said, these things are going to happen for us and stay there because the truth remains in us forever. It remains in us forever. You see, John wrote this letter because of the truth, he said. Or for the sake of the truth, a number of your versions will say. He was concerned, dear friends, that the lady that he addressed might compromise the truth in the name of hospitality. You see, he was afraid that she was housing the heretics. Remember, we talked about this last week, that there were people who had left the church and they were roaming about, going from church to church to church, saying, oh, well, we're believers, take care of us. And as they brought them into their household, they were teaching things that were not of God. They were teaching things that were anti-Christ and anti-Scripture. And he was afraid, John was afraid, that this lady might compromise the truth by being hospitable. Oh, well, I have to just take everybody in. He's saying, no, don't house a heretic. As a matter of fact, if you remember Psalms chapter 1, if Psalms is one of your favorite books, you're going to remember what Psalms 1 says. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So don't walk, don't sit, don't stand with the sinners, he's saying. The Bible tells us that Christian love and hospitality are vitally important. Amen? Do you enjoy the fellowship of believers? Shouldn't we take care of one another? Shouldn't we guard one another? Fellowship with one another? It's very important. That fellowship makes a lot of difference. It demonstrates the transforming power of the gospel. But dear friends, listen to this. If our kindness in any way assists the errant teaching or sinful actions of somebody, then our kindness is detrimental to the truth. It's not godly love. God's truth must permeate every aspect of the church's life, everything we do. God's truth must be in our preaching, amen. God's truth must be in our teaching. God's truth must be in our evangelism. And it certainly needs to be in our fellowship. God's truth. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17 tells us that God's Spirit of truth abides in us. Listen to John 14, 16 and 17, he says, "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Who is he talking about? The Holy Spirit. "That he may abide with you forever." The Spirit of truth. "Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Who dwells with you? And who will be in you? The Holy Spirit. We understand God's Spirit of truth abides, stays, lives, dwells within who? Every believer. Every person who has trusted Christ. So in other words, dear friends, we know this. All true Christians know the truth of the Scripture that saves. It doesn't mean that we know everything yet. We will one day, full knowledge, we know it's coming. But even here, we can't know everything, but we can learn as much as we can. But every true Christian already knows the truths of salvation. Because if they don't, how could they have accepted it? Now, it may be a very simple explanation of it, but that's not bad. That's not wrong. At a very early age, we can understand much. In other words, we know. Those who are believers, they know that they are sinners, amen, facing God's just judgment. They know that forgiveness comes only by divine grace, not of works, amen. They know that it's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice and through his resurrection that we come to know him. Those things are known by believers. The Holy Spirit within us tells us that. If they didn't comprehend those facts, they wouldn't be Christians. Because understanding the truth is necessary for salvation. Like I said, simple, but it's there. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 through 27, we're not going to recap that today. John, in that brief passage, taught that all believers are able to discern truth from error because of this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit in you tells you when something is said that's amiss or wrong, the alarms begin to go off. You're going, whoa, 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 that doesn't seem right, that doesn't sound right, and your spirit says, go check to see if it's right. Check it out. Make sure that it's what the Word actually says. And he says that because that Holy Spirit abides in you, you know the truth. And he says, this truth abides in you for how long? Forever. 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 And 1 Corinthians 2:16 adds that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the mind of Christ. You don't do that on your own. You get the truth from God. How many times are we reminded? You do not discover the truth. God's Holy Spirit reveals it to you. If you were able to discover it, the world would have it. But the world doesn't have it. You only get it through the Holy Spirit of God. So salvation, friends, requires belief in God's truth. Not man's truth, but God's truth. So, because that's true, it is critically important that churches proclaim the right message. People trust the church in so many ways, and if we are going to be proclaiming something that somebody is going to claim for salvation, it had better be right. And so many churches do not proclaim the truth of God, the whole truth of God, and nothing but the truth of God. That's why we need the Word and need to match it up with each other. Folks, you need to always be checking it out. That's why we have these cross references in the bulletin. Go back and look it up. We can read some of them, but some of them you need to go back and check out. So, salvation requires belief in God's truth, not your truth, not my truth. It's critically important that we as a church share the right message because the transforming power of God's Holy Spirit can take care of somebody's salvation. That's why a very simple but accurate presentation can lead somebody to Christ. Hello? A very simple explanation can lead someone to Christ. But even the most elaborate, smooth, crafted, polished presentation that is not the truth, it can never save. It doesn't matter how polished and elaborate it seems. That's why the simple truth is better than any elaborate thing that man can come up with. Amen? God's word is truth, and anything other than God's word cannot save. You know, I've heard people say, I've literally heard them say this. I've heard them say, well, you just can't blurt out the truth to people. That's not very loving. And I've actually heard people say that hard truth and love are not compatible. Well, if I'm driving down a road going 70 miles an hour and the bridge is out ahead, I'm hoping that somebody will stand in the road and give me the hard truth. And not just enjoy the trip. I love you. Love you. You understand what I'm saying? If you look at what John is saying here, he's linking love and the truth. He's showing that they are compatible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that we are to speak in love, but also it says we're to speak in the truth. Love and truth. Because truth is love, and God's love is going to be the truth. To minimize any truth in the name of love is not God's truth. Tell people the truth. You're going the wrong way. Well, I believe this. It doesn't matter what you believe. Let me share with you the truth. Godly love is based on truth, dear people. And God's purposes, listen, God's purposes can never be accomplished by compromising any of His truth. So the truth unites us, and the truth indwells us. And the third thing is that the truth blesses us. Look at verse 3 of 2 John. Remember those three words? Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. How? How will mercy, grace, and peace be with us? In truth and love. It didn't say just in truth, and it didn't just say in love. It says grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. How? In both truth and love. They go together. They absolutely go together. John emphasized Jesus Christ's identity as God's Son here. He said, grace, mercy, peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Why did he emphasize that? Because remember, there were people in the church that had left his church and were going around spreading, oh, Jesus really wasn't God. Some were saying, oh, he was all God, but he really wasn't human. He was saying, listen, you need to understand the truth. You need to know the truth because it's important for your salvation. These false teachers were trying to deny that truth. We discussed that heavily in 1 John. Now, these three terms summarize the progression of the plan of salvation. Don't they? Look at it one more time. They summarize God's way. He said, grace, it always comes first, mercy, and then peace. How is that? God's grace, God's love for us, God's grace caused him to grant us mercy. And only because of his mercy can we realize peace. Amen? Grace, mercy, and then peace. Thank you, God. These divine blessings, like every other good thing in a Christian life, come only from God the Father and from God his Son, Jesus Christ. And they're present in any life where truth dominates the heart and the mind. If truth is in your heart and mind, they result in the genuine love of God, and God gives you his grace, and we receive his mercy, and it brings us his peace. You see how God works there? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The truth unites us. The truth indwells us. The truth blesses us. And the last one, and this is the one that we need to take home, the truth controls believers. The truth makes them act in a godly manner. Look at verse 4. He said, I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in truth. That's an important phrase. Just as we have received a commandment to do from the Father. Now, before I get into that walking in the truth, I love John's encouragement here. Has anybody ever bragged on your kids? Didn't it feel good? You know, somebody says, saw your kid the other day, and you're going, oh, what was he doing? He was helping somebody in trouble. What a blessing I got just from seeing him helping others. I saw your kid the other day in school. Oh, they were helping out. They were so encouraging. It just made me feel good to see where your kids were. That's what John did here. Listen, we need to do this more often. Amen. You see somebody doing good, tell them. If you see them doing bad, pray for them. Tell God. Amen. But he said here, he expressed his joy that her children are walking in the truth of God. And he mentioned some of her children. That doesn't mean that all of them weren't saved or that all of them weren't walking in the right way. But listen, how often do they? I mean, you have a bunch of kids, it's more likely that some of them aren't walking with the Lord. But the thing is, he only mentioned some of her children, so he probably was just mentioning those that he had knowledge of, okay? So we don't know that any of them weren't of God, or we don't know that. But we do know this. He commented on those that he knew of, and what a blessing that is. Now, to the point of this, the truth of God is to be lived as well as believed. He said there in verse 4, I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received a commandment to do from the Father. We have been commanded by God to walk in the truth. We are not just supposed to believe it. We are to live it as well. Listen to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who will? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then John 13, verse 17 says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you remember them. Nope. Blessed are you if you tell everybody else. Nope. Blessed are you if you, what? Do them. If you know these things, blessed are you who do them. He's saying, don't just be hearers, be doers. That phrase, walking in truth, is so important for us. Why? Because it's a metaphor for the Christian life. It's used so often through the Bible. It refers to their living their life controlled by God's truth, controlled by God's Holy Spirit. It's equivalent to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, where John told them to walk in the light. Remember? Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Jesus is the light. That term, walking, is a frequent metaphor in the New Testament, as we said. Several times, many times, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 John, 2 John. He says, believers, walk in newness of life. Where do you hear that expression heard around here? Often. Baptism. Buried with Christ. And raised to walk. in newness of life. Believers are to walk in newness of life. Believers are to walk by faith and not by sight. They are to walk by the Spirit, the Scripture says. They are to walk in love. They are to walk in wisdom. They are to walk as children of the light. They are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. They are to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And they are to walk, 2 John verse 6 that we're coming to next week, they are to walk according to His commandments. Folks, walking is staying in the Spirit of God. This brief little letter opens with a call for Christians to abide in Christ, to abide in the truth, to dwell in the truth, and to live consistently with the truth that they've been given. You see, revelation carries with it responsibility. If you're given something, you're responsible for it according to God's word. And revelation is more important than things. Revelation carries a responsibility. And the clearer the truth, the clearer the revelation, the greater responsibility to believe and obey. Why is that? Because God doesn't present or reveal His truth as an option. When He reveals His truth, it's a command. His revelation of truth gives us a clear call, not just to remember, not just to know it, not just to believe it, but to what? To be obedient to it. To do it. He's given us His Holy Spirit that will help us remember it. He's given us His Holy Spirit who will reveal His truth to us and will help us to know this is the truth. We read it in God's Word. And when He reveals it, dear friends, we are not free to disregard it. We can't just toss it away. We're not free to change it. We're not free to add our flavor to it even. If we love God and we love other people, we're going to give them the truth, the whole truth, and amen. Preach it. When we have it, we are responsible to obey it and to share it. The only basis for unity is God's truth. We can have a lot of things alike, but if you disagree about what is absolute truth, dear friends, there can be no real communion. That's why believers in the world live apart. That's why we're different. The truth of God's Word that indwells and blesses and controls the lives of individuals will also bind us together in Christ. Hang on to that. Hold on to that. It's only those who are holding on to the truth that will not be assailed and overcome by Satan. Hold on to the truth. It didn't say that you won't be attacked. We will. But dear friends, you will not be overcome with God's truth in your heart. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for Your Word. Thank You, God, that it gives us Your truth and that Your Holy Spirit confirms it in our heart. God, would You help us not just to believe it, but to be obedient to it. We know that is Your instruction and it's our call as believers. God, thank You so much that Your truth unites us, indwells us, controls us. And we pray, Father, that it would be ever present in heart and mind and body. With your heads bowed, would you make a commitment to the Father right now? How can you know the truth if you don't stay in it? Make a commitment to the Word, to read it daily, to apply it daily. Would you do that right now? This invitation is as important as any other part of the service. Would you pray and just say, God, I want to be in Your Word. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to apply it. I'm going to walk it, Father. I want to walk in the light. I want to walk in the truth.